everybody. It is Easter, everybody. Time to celebrate. And we're excited that you're here. Thanks so much for joining us. We're online campus today and online church. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be a great day. Punch him on the couch. Say, I can't believe that you wore pajamas to church today. Amen. I've been praying all week that this week of Easter weekend, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that it would be both personal to you and also powerful. I really believe that God has a word for us this morning. So I want to pray this morning. So if you'll bow your heads with me right where you are this morning, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. Thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate, Lord Jesus, your resurrection. Father God, that you are not dead, but you have risen today. And we thank you, Lord, because of what you've done on the cross. Lord, what you done by rising from the dead. Father God, that, Lord, that now that we can have resurrection life as well. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start this morning with a joke. I always like to start Easter services with a joke. And so this year, I've got a joke for you. I heard this story about three guys from Mississippi, and they were going to a funeral of one of their friends. And so they go into the funeral home, and one of the guys is next to the casket, and he just says to his friends there, he said, hey, when you die, what do you want your friends and your family to say about you? And so the first guy immediately responds, and he says, oh, well, I want people to believe and say about me and my family to believe that and say about me that I was a great family man, that my wife, I love my wife well, and I love my kids well, and they love me. And so they said, okay, that's cool. And so then they asked the second guy, they said, hey, what do you want them to say about you? And he said, well, I would like them to think and believe and recognize that, hey, I was all about helping people and blessing people and being an encouragement to people. And so I always help people. And so they asked the third guy, they said, hey, well, what do you want people to say about you? And he said, oh, that's easy. I want them to say, hey, look, he moved. That was funny. I don't care what you say about that, right? So you say, Pastor, what has that got to do with Easter? Well, let me just make this statement to you this morning. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Let me say that one more time this morning. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Easter isn't just a holiday. Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a historical fact. It's present reality. Did you hear me this morning? It's not just historical fact. It's present reality. Paul said this in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 11. It says this, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. So Paul says, Christ will give life to your mortal bodies because his spirit lives in us. That word mortal means subject to death. Subject to decay. So Paul is saying, listen, the Spirit of God gives life to the decaying, the dead places in our life. Right? So Jesus wants to give life to us this morning in our decaying and dying relationships. Jesus wants to give us breath, breathe new life into us in our decaying and our dying dreams. Jesus wants to give us resurrection and decay to our decaying faith. That may have been we're struggling through right now. Love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, Easter is death working backwards. Let me say that again. Easter is death working backwards. Because of Easter, today we can go from death to actually life. That's good news. So how do you do that? Well, what does that have? What do you have to do to make that happen? Well, we simply have to choose to believe in Jesus. To choose to believe in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. I'm going to read out the Message version and you'll see why in a moment. It says this, we don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia Province. It was so bad that we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we had been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. And as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength and our wits to get out of it, we were forced, listen to a church, we were forced to trust God totally, Not a bad idea, since he's a God who raises the dead. That sounds a lot like where we're living today. Right? Like Paul says, it was so bad that we didn't think we were going to make it. And I think a lot of people are in that place today. Like some of you may be just in that place where it's looking bad and you're not sure how it's all going to turn out and you're not sure if you're going to be able to make it. But then he goes on and he says, yeah, it looked really bad and we didn't think we were going to make it. But then he says, but it turned out to be the very best thing that could have happened. Because of, instead of trusting in our own abilities and our own strength, we learn to totally, completely trust in God. And I think a lot of us right now, in the season that we're in with the virus and the stay-at-home order and all the things that are happening, a lot of us are learning that we've got to totally and completely 100% trust in Jesus. Paul is saying, listen, if Jesus can conquer death, he can help me conquer the decaying and dead places in my life. The key this morning, church, is to believe. Paul believed, and we have to believe and put our trust in a God who makes something out of nothing, who takes dead things and brings them back to life. That's good news today. They're good news because, listen, of what Christ did on the cross and what he's done as he rose from the dead on the third day. Because he did that, the same spirit that was in Paul is in this place today, and the same spirit that done a miracle in Paul's life and brought provision is the same spirit that's going to take us through as the coming days. Amen? So this morning, I want us to look at the most famous story of Jesus raising someone from the dead in Scripture. There's more than one place, but I just want to share the story of Lazarus with you. Most of you know this story. I want to just share from John chapter number 11, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to hit some verses, just some lessons throughout the whole story. But I want to read this portion to you. It says this. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. So let me just give you a few lessons this morning from the life of Lazarus. So if you want a title of this message this morning, that's what it would be. Lessons from Lazarus. So the first one is this, that God is not motivated to help us based on our love for him. God is not motivated to help us based on our love for him. John chapter 11, verse number 3, it says, Lord, the one you love is sick. She doesn't say the one who loves you is sick. She's not saying, Jesus, you should really heal Lazarus because he really loves you. Jesus, you should heal Lazarus because he prays all the time. Jesus, you should heal Lazarus because he reads his Bible all the time. So you should really do this for him. Lazarus didn't earn the favor of God. So that's why Jesus healed him. No, God is not motivated to help us based on our love for him, but because he loved us first. That's good news. He loved us first. The Bible says this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us before we made the decision to follow him. Jesus wants to bring resurrection and help and healing and strength and provision to your life, not because of we do it all right and we've earned anything, but because he loves us and he cares about us. Amen? Second thing I want us to notice in this passage is this, and that is your present reality is not your final destination. Verse number 4 says this, then Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. And we read the story, we're like, well, but Lazarus did die. Right? But then we read on, and then we find that he's raised from the dead. If Jesus says it's not over, church, it's not over. Your present circumstances may be difficult. They may stink. It may not be good right now. You may not see a way through right now. And it may be difficult right now. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, it's not over because, listen, God is the resurrection God. Jesus is speaking the same thing to us, I believe, that he spoke to Mary and Martha. And he says, listen, this season will not end in death. Some of us need to hold on to that today. The present reality right now is not going to take you out. Your present reality right now is not your final destination. That's good preaching. Here's number three. Just simply remember that Jesus loves you. Verse number 5 says this, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And we read later in Scripture that the Bible says that Jesus wept. And I think in seasons like this, and as we celebrate today, we just get to celebrate the fact that Jesus loves us and he cares about us. And the Bible says he wept. And so listen, whatever you're going through right now, he knows your struggle. He knows your pain. He knows your difficulty. He sees you in your current situation, and he's broken, and he's walking with you through it because he loves you, and he doesn't abandon us. And so in this season, we simply need to remember that he loves us, and he is a God of resurrection. And then number 4, we notice this, that he's working, and we know this, right? He's working in the waiting. Verse number 6 says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Say, what? Like, have you ever had a time where you needed God to come through and you needed him to answer a prayer, or you needed, like, you had a timetable and it just didn't seem like it was fast enough, like he didn't come in the time that you thought he should? Verse number 6 says this, that Jesus waited 2 more days before he came. Right? And I don't know about you, I've had times where I'm like, God, I need you to hurry up. Like, you got 2 minutes. I need you over here. I need you to do this. God, why are you waiting? But here's what I know. It often seems to us like God is late, but God is always on time. The Bible says this, he's not slow concerning keeping his promises. And he's working even when we can't see it. Right? Here's number 5, and that is this, that God was doing something bigger that they didn't see at the moment. God was doing something bigger that they didn't see in that moment. Verse number 4 says this, It is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. I just need us to know in this present circumstances that so many of us are going through as we celebrate Easter today, that God is still working in the waiting. I know we're ready for the stay-at-home order to be done, and we're ready for this sickness and this virus to be gone. But listen, I just need you to know, like, we may not understand it all, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but listen, I just need you to know that, listen, he's working in the waiting, and sometimes, listen, we need to understand that God is bigger, and he's wanting to do something and work things bigger, because here's what I know, God's vision is bigger than ours. God's vision is bigger and it's better than ours, right? Verse number 11, it says this. It says, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. See, the disciples saw Lazarus as dead, but Jesus saw Lazarus as asleep, because for Jesus, death is just another opportunity for resurrection. Did you hear me, church? For Jesus, he was just asleep, because it's just another opportunity for him to do a resurrection in your life, in the dead places and the decaying places in your life. And then number 6 is this, that we don't always get to understand God. John chapter 11, verses 12 through 13, it says, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he was meant natural sleep. The disciples didn't understand that Jesus was talking about what Jesus was talking about, so they thought he was talking about natural sleep. Here's the deal. We don't always understand God, do we? Right? But here's what I've discovered. In my time as a Christian, here's what I've come to discover. I don't want to serve a God that I can fit in my brain. If I can figure it all out, and I know how it's all going to work, and if I can fix it, then I really, honestly, I don't even need a God, because I can be my own God. I need a God who says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I need a God who spoke the worlds into the universe into existence just by speaking the word. I need a bigger God, and if he's that big, then I'm not going to understand it all. Right? But I just need us to know today that, listen, God sees the big picture, and you're not always going to understand. We just see a little bit. Paul says it this way. He says, right now, we see through the glass dimly. But on that day, we're going to see it close up, and we're going to see clearly, right? I think when we get to heaven, we always talk about questions we're going to ask when we get to heaven. And we always ask that question or say that. And we're like, yeah, when I get to heaven, I want to ask God why he did this and that. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be one total in unison, almost like a giant heavenly choir, go, oh! Because he sees the whole picture. And right now, we're just seeing 2020 so far. But he sees spans of years. He sees the whole picture, and he's working. And sometimes we're just not going to understand it, right? But here's what we often do in seasons, right? We often do this. We often do what Mary and Martha did. We play the what if game, right? John chapter number 11, verses 21 says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. Have you ever said that? Lord, if you would have been here, I wouldn't have lost my job. If you would have been here, I would be over this depression by now. If you would have been here, I wouldn't have the anxiety that I have. If you would have been here, though, she wouldn't have left, or he wouldn't have left. If you had have been here, then it would be different. But then Jesus reminds Martha, and I think he wants to remind us of this truth today. That's point number 7. Today is the day of resurrection. John chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But then Jesus says to Martha, today is the day for resurrection. Church, today is the day of resurrection for you. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus says to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Church, Easter isn't just a holiday. Easter is a person. Easter is a person, and his name is Jesus. Resurrection isn't a day. Resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. It says to Martha, hey, Martha, resurrection is standing right in front of you. We just got to believe. Jesus is saying to us today, church, if you trust me, if you believe in me, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will bring life and resurrection to the dead places in your life. So the question this morning is the same that Jesus asked to Martha. Do you believe? Do you have faith? I know we're living in some uncertain times today. I know some of us have lost our faith, or at least it's been shaken. Maybe you prayed and things didn't work out well. And so maybe if you're just honest and you take away the Sunday morning mask, you would just say, you know what? Pastor, if I'm honest, I'm disappointed with God. He didn't come through like I thought he should, or how I hoped he would. And then others of you, maybe you're watching online today as well. Father, I just pray, God, today that, Lord, for every person right now, Father God, that just needs a resurrection, Lord, in their families, in their finances, Father God, and in their faith. God, to believe, Lord God, in the chaos of the moment, Lord God, that we can have peace, and Lord God, that we can have your strength, and we can, Lord, as we've been talking about the last several weeks, Father God, that we can walk into the season, Lord, with strength and courage and confidence. Lord, because God, your word leads us and guides us and directs us. And so God, we need that today. And I pray for anybody today, Father God, that's just struggling with their faith, God. Their faith has been rattled. God, would you strengthen them, Lord, and let just remind them, Lord, that they can walk into this season in strength and faith and confidence with courage today because of what you did. Lord, you're the risen Savior, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And we bless you today. In Jesus' name. Guys, have a great week. God bless you.